The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
The internet has made it so much easier to invest in and also manage rental properties. And my guest on the show today is going to share three different tools that he uses to manage his rentals that have really made his life a lot easier. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in a minute and we'll meet Jeff Copeland from Tampa. Whether you want to buy your first rental or you're an experienced investor, you probably already know that having someone on your team to help you finance a property is one of the most important things that you can do as an investor. Chailey Ridge has helped thousands of investors generate rental income by getting the right financing in place for their unique situation. She's an experienced investor herself, as well as an expert on financing rentals. See what she can do for you. Find out more today at RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. LendingGroup.com.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? This is Marco Santarelli with Norada Real Estate Investments. Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage those properties. We save you time by providing you with passive income investment properties in some of the best U.S. markets. Learn more by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. There's no obligation and nothing to buy. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and get your free copy today. That's PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
Hey, Jeff, welcome to the podcast. So you've always had an interest in real estate and you were flipping houses and you'd done a couple of successful flips and then you had a flip that went bad. Tell me what happened and how this ended up being your first rental.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that it went bad, so to speak, but we had the property sold after doing our renovations, and the buyer's inspections uncovered that one of the rooms of the fourth bedroom was an unpermitted addition. And so at that time we were faced with, well, do we sell the property at a steep discount, you know, which isn't really what fit into our plans at the time, or do we just hold on to it as a rental? We decided to do the latter. And really at the time, I probably planned to keep it for a year and then maybe sell it again. But actually, I still have it. And it's one of my best performing rental properties.
That's great how that worked out. So did you have any like over improvements? Because a lot of times the way that you're going to sell a flip is not the way that you would fix up a rental. Like was it maybe not necessarily the best rental, or like how did that work out?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. For most of our flip properties, we do higher end upgrades, you know, granite countertops and things like that, that really aren't necessary or expected for a rental property. In this particular case, the plan from the get-go was to do kind of a really quick turnaround on this property. So we did the important stuff, the roof, you know, the plumbing, the HVAC and the electrical were all in good shape. And the roof and the HVAC were new, actually. And other than that, we really just did some flooring, painting and cosmetic stuff, and then turned around and put it back on the market for what would have been a really good deal. But we just kind of lucked out that we didn't over improve the property. Yeah. And so it has worked out really well as a rental.
That's awesome. And you've had the same tenants in there the whole time?
No, they've turned over once or twice, but with very, very minimal vacancy.
Okay, that's awesome. And how about number wise? Because like you hadn't really been looking at rental numbers. Like, did the numbers work on the property?
They did. As I mentioned, we got a really good deal on the property. I think we paid $78,000 for it. We probably spent, you know, $20,000 or so on it. So we were into it for less than $100,000. And it's currently renting for $1,400 a month.
Okay, that's awesome.
And interestingly, we were able to roll that into a refinance and pull some cash out and use it to buy another rental.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. So did you buy it with hard money or I guess cash?
Yeah, at the time, there was some cash and then some hard money.
Okay.
And then, so once we had the property rented and stabilized, we were able to do a cash out refinance, pay off our hard money, and pull out enough cash to use as the down payment on another rental.
Awesome. Now, was it that first rental went so well that you said, well, maybe we should do this again?
Yes, but I think it was always our plan to eventually get into buy and hold. I think a lot of people start out, well, I want to flip a few houses, and then eventually I want to own a portfolio of rentals. And we were in that same boat, and it just kind of turned out we did it a little earlier than expected. But then you do kind of get addicted to it. You're like, wait, that went really well. Let's do it again.
Yeah. And so you did the cash out refi. You took that equity from that first property, and you bought the second property. And then did you kind of do the same thing to get to the third property?
So number one and two, you just explained. Numbers three and four, we actually did a similar buy rent, rehab, or buy rehab rent refinance on two properties separately. And so we, for number three, it was a property that we bought, it did some renovations on, held it for about a year with a tenant in place, and then refinanced that one, independently of the fourth property, which was kind of the same model.
Okay. Now, today you own a property management company. So you've got four rentals that you manage yourself, but then you also have a property management company where you manage for other people. How did that come about?
Well, as a real estate agent and now real estate broker, I have focused largely on investors. And so when you're working with buy and hold investors, eventually it kind of comes up, well, hey, we bought this rental property, would you manage it for us? And so I did that with one, and it slowly grew into, now about 150 doors.
Okay.
And so our business model is sort of, we help investors with the acquisition side of things, and then in many cases we take over management on the back end after closing.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I think is really cool about what you're doing with your management company is that you're using a lot of technology to manage your properties that is making things easier on you. So I want to talk about some of the tools that you're using. So let's talk about the first tool, which is Buildium. Tell me what Buildium is and what it does.
Sure. Yeah, Buildium is really kind of the core of our business model as far as where all of our data resides and where everything comes and goes. Buildium is a property management software, and there are a number of them out there. But literally everything from posting a property for rent online when we have a vacancy, to taking tenant applications, to having tenants pay their rent, enter maintenance requests, tracking those work orders through to resolution. Everything is done through our property management software. And then on the owner's side, it also does all the accounting. So you have the rental income, you have the expenses that flow through Buildium, and then the owners would get access to real-time financial statements through their own login portal.
So everything is right there online. So it's just an easy way that you can track everything that's going on with every property. And this is something that small owners could use too, right? If someone had a couple of rental properties and they wanted to track everything online, could they use
it? Yeah, the billing is done by the number of doors. I think they even have like a free trial when you first start out. And so, with just a handful of doors under management, I don't think it would be terribly expensive. But if nothing else, for an independent owner managing a few properties, it makes the bookkeeping side of things so much easier because it tracks your rental income, it tracks your expenses, and it prepares the financial statements for you. In addition to giving your tenants a place where they can make EFT rent payments, they can enter maintenance requests, and you can track all that information.
Now, there's a couple of other tools that you're using that integrate with Buildium. I guess they're separate tools. Am I explaining this right? That these are like separate tools that kind of work with building them?
Yeah, they're sort of add-on services that, you can sort of add to your Buildium universe, so to speak, as additional sort of features.
Now, the first one that, we're going to talk about is Tenant Turner. And this is, I think, really cool. Tell me how you're doing showings without having to actually show the property.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, not driving across town to show someone a vacant rental unit. We try to do almost exclusively self-service showings on vacant units. And Tenant Turner is a great application that allows us to do that. Basically, a tenant can go online, find our rental, you know, click through to, request a showing. And Tenant Turner asks them to upload a photo of their ID, and it kind of gives them instructions via email and or text to sort of step by step, you know, up to the point when you get to the front door, you know, text us back the code off the lockbox and we'll give you the code to get inside. And so a tenant can literally find one of our listings and go take a look at it without us ever having to even speak to them.
Now, what about security? So you've got someone going into a property that you've never met. Like, how do you know that they're not going to go in there and vandalize the property or cause some kind of trouble for you?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And it has certainly come up in discussions with some of our property owners. I think if you look into the research, self-service showings are something that's here to stay. Ultimately, it helps you reduce vacancy by making showings quicker and easier and more effective and efficient. But I'm a firm believer that if somebody's going to break in and vandalize your rental property, they're probably not going to upload a photo of their ID and
true.
Have us track when they came and went.
Right. That's
and so I think it kind of takes care of itself from a security standpoint. And we only utilize it on vacant rentals. And so that obviously minimizes the risk as well.
Now, what about when they're getting the code? Like, so say I want to see one of your properties. Do I get a code that is specific to me? Or do I get the code for the property?
You get the code that's specific to you and specific for the property and is only good for 2 hours after its first use.
Okay.
So, you would show up at the property, get your code. You can open the lockbox, get the key. We can track what time you open the lockbox. You go in, check out the house, put the key back in the box when you leave. And you could conceivably do it again within that 2 hour window. But if you come back tomorrow, that same code is not going to work for you again.
Awesome. And so when the people sign up, like there's also like a questionnaire. So say if the owner or the landlord or the rental property owner maybe doesn't want to have dogs in the property, that there's a questionnaire where the person is going to be asked, do you have a dog or some other qualifying
questions.
So
we obviously do a full-fledged, you know, tenant screening when somebody applies for one of our units. But through Tenant Turner, you can ask some sort of basic initial screening questions. You know, do you have an eviction on your record? You know, what is your annual income? Do you have any pets and what kind? And so you can do sort of an initial screening. And that's a perfect example because we do have one property on St. Pete Beach where the property owners will allow cats, but they're not dog people and they don't want any dogs on their property. And so for that property, we can customize those screening questions and say, do you have a dog? And if they say yes, it's going to tell them, hey, sorry, this property does not accept dogs. And so, you know, it's quicker for the tenant. They get an instant answer. They don't have to call and, you know, play phone tag with us just to ask that simple question. And it obviously reduces the time on our end in dealing with those inquiries.
You know, that is just the most genius thing because showing units can just take up so much time. You make an appointment with someone, they're not going to show a lot of the times, or you're just wasting your time showing properties. But to let people do that on their own is so much more efficient. That's a really great tool.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I have experienced that same thing, that a very high percentage of prospective tenants who make an appointment to come see a rental unit, for whatever reason, they tend to not show up or they tend to show up 45 minutes late. And most of us in the real estate profession are far too busy to work our day around that. And so it has been a huge, you know, sort of force multiplier for us to adopt the model of self-service showings.
Right. So is there any downside to tenant-turner or anything that you maybe aren't crazy about?
Very little. The only thing that I have found a little bit of pushback on is some people are a little bit uneasy about uploading a picture of their photo ID. And usually when people push back or ask me about that, I kind of jokingly say, well, we're just as uneasy letting you into our rental unit without knowing who you are.
Right.
And so I would say 95% of people have no problem, you know, snapping a photo of their ID and uploading it. For those that don't want to do it there, you know, we can still manually give them a code or we can go meet them at the property and show it the old fashioned way. So the tenants or the prospective tenants do have to be a little bit tech savvy and comfortable using the app or their website to schedule their showing. And they have to be willing to share a photo ID, which in my opinion is a pretty low cost of entry to go look at a rental unit at your convenience.
Right. And so they look at the property, they see it, they like it, they want to apply for the unit. The next step would be they can actually apply right on tenant-turner, right?
Yeah, I mean, most people contact us at that point in person and say, hey, I just looked at 123 Main Street. I'd like to apply. What are the next steps? Or can I talk to somebody about this? But tenant-turner will follow up with them and it'll ask them for feedback. Hey, what did you think about the property? What did you like? What did you dislike? And it will also send them the link to the application and say, here's the link. If you want to go ahead and submit your application, it's right here in your inbox or in your text messages.
Yeah, that is a really awesome tool. That is really cool. Now, the other thing that you're using is a service called Pay Near Me. Tell me what this is and how it works.
Sure. Well, I would say about 90% of our tenants, our existing tenants, pay their rent online through Buildium using electronic funds transfer. However, we do have most of them are inherited tenants who were kind of already in place when we took over the property. And surprisingly, there are still a lot of landlords that drive around town and collect cash payments from their tenants. I basically, after some bad experiences, nothing major, but, you know, for example, a miscount. The tenant said he paid $1,100, but I only counted $1,080. So there's $20 missing. And at that point, it's your word against mine. You know, so after a couple of incidents like that, I kind of said, look, we're not accepting cash payments in our office. We're not driving across town to collect cash payments ever again. But I understand there are tenants who need the ability to pay with cash. And so we adopted Pay Near Me. It's also an addition sort of plug in to Buildium or an additional service level of Buildium. And what that enables tenants to do is take a barcode sort of pay slip to any 7-Eleven, CVS, or Ace Cash Express location, and they can actually pay in cash right there at the register. When they scan that barcode, their cash payment is applied directly to their tenant rental account in Buildium, and it eliminates me or my staff having to handle cash, store cash in our office, deposit cash. You know, cash is just there's a lot of risk associated with handling cash, and it's something that we don't want to do.
Now, how about the fees? I'm sure Pay Near Me is making money somehow. Are they charging you to use the service, or are they charging the tenant?
There was an initial setup fee for us. I think it was something like $99 to get our bank account set up and it synced up with our Buildium account and all that stuff. But for the tenant, it's $3.99. Okay. And so if you go pay your $1,000, you know, rent bill in cash at CVS, they're going to charge you an extra $3.99 for the convenience of it. And, you know, the alternative is to buy a money order, buy an envelope, buy a stamp, drive to the post or drive across town and drop that off. I think for most people, it's well worth $4 for the convenience.
Right. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I have a couple of tenants that pay with money orders and, you know, this would probably be about the same price to pay with a money order. So that's really awesome. Now, the other thing is as far as getting the money. So I assume when they make the payment that it shows up in Buildium right away. That integrates?
Yeah, it shows up in Buildium in their account right away, and it's irreversible because it was a cash payment.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, you know, a lot of 90% of our tenants do pay via electronic funds transfer, but inevitably we have one or two of those EFTs that get reversed every month, and we have to, you know, then go, you know, collect with the tenant and figure out why did it bounce? Was it an NSF or was it a Did you key in the wrong account number? And so the nice thing about Pay Near Me is once it's paid, it's paid. It was a cash payment and it's not coming back.
Right. And as far as the money showing up in your account, is that just take a few days?
Yeah, I think it takes a day or two. I haven't really tracked it, but it's just as quick as, or if not quicker than electronic funds transfer.
To summarize, the three tools that Jeff's using in his business are Buildium, Tenant Turner, and Pay Near Me. If you want to look any of them up, I've got links to everything on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode191. And if anyone is looking to invest in the St. Petersburg area, Jeff is a great contact, a great person that you should reach out to. He's actually a realtor and a property manager, so he can help you find a property. And then once you find that property, he can take over the management for you. And as you can tell from listening to the show today, he's got a really good business and he knows what he's doing. So if you want to reach out to Jeff, I've got his contact information on the website too. You can look that up again. The address is rentalincomepodcast.com/episode191. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new Caramel Chocolate Cold Brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.